Now, a near-threatened orchid was discovered recently in Oranmore in County Galway for the first time in 80 years. A joint environmental initiative by Galway County Council and Conservation Volunteers Galway to attract pollinating insects to Rinville Park led to the discovery of between 20 and 30 autumn ladies' tresses orchids, which are classed as near threatened in the Red Data List of Vascular Plants 2016. Rosina Joyce, Biodiversity Officer for Galway County Council, said the no-mow area at Rinville Park has been a huge success in terms of conservation and biodiversity. Well, we just had to find out more. So, Aidan Ilana spoke with Rosina Joyce.
Hello, Rosina. It's great to talk to you. How are you doing over there in Galway?
Hello, Aina. I'm doing very well and thanks for having me on the programme.
Now, I believe that you are coming to report the success of what we have been always campaigning for, no mow areas and meadows, because having left a part of a park in Oranmore in Galway unmowed this year, you and your companions discovered a rare species of orchid that hadn't been reported for that part of Oranmore for 80 years. And this is a very rare orchid in Ireland. Tell me more. This is most exciting.
Well, Aina, indeed it is very, very exciting. And we're delighted to report that we have found autumn ladies' tresses in the public park in Renville Park in Oranmore. So, this plant was actually spotted by a local amateur botanist, Mark O'Mahony, who was out looking for orchids and brought his family up to the park and couldn't believe his luck when he came across the autumn ladies' tresses. And he reported it to the Conservation Volunteers Galway, who have been working with the Galway County Council in managing the site. So there's some great volunteers there, Peter Butler, Ray Fallon and Dan Clavey and all the gang who have been minding and looking after this patch of ground for us and keeping it litter-free and have nice signs up just to alert people that we're trying to mind this patch of ground. So what we've seen, once we stop cutting, it allows the flowers, the native flowers, to grow and to flower and to set seed. So now we're getting a chance to see what's coming up naturally there in the ground. Now, this particular site, Aina, is right beside the sea. It's right beside the footpath as you're walking up through the park. So it's very, very accessible. So it's great that people can get up close and see these wildflowers, this wonderful array of wildflowers. And it was already doing very well before we even spotted this orchid. We'd had other orchids coming up and we had plenty of bee orchids and real treasures of flowers, wildflowers. But I can't tell you how excited we were to see the autumn ladies' tresses come up, because it is not a common flower by any, like, by any description. And it's really only found along the coastal parts of Ireland and very few inland sites. So a real treasure to find. And what a reward in our first year of having this area as a no-mow.
Absolutely. I'm just looking at the plant atlas, the most recent plant atlas from the Botanical Society of Britain and Ireland, and looking at the distribution of this particular orchid. And it seems to have a stronghold here in Galway, around Galway Bay and out around Dogs Bay and Connemara, and a bit on the south coast as well, because it's actually a plant of dune grassland and macaire, calcareous grasslands beside the sea, where the grasses are low and there isn't huge amounts of competition from real rich grasses coming out of very fertile soils. And it's unmistakable. This orchid is about 20 centimetres when it's grown, and it has beautiful white flowers that are all in a spiral around it. It comes out in autumn time, hence the autumn ladies' tresses. The summer one we don't have in these parts at all, neither here nor in Britain, so we don't have to worry about a misidentification. And to get something that was last reported from Galway, from Renville, from where you were, 80 years ago, it just shows how long the seeds of these things remain in the soil, just waiting for the right management strategies to allow them grow again. So it's great that this no-mow summer is giving such tangible results, because it'll encourage more people to do it.
Exactly. It will inspire the public to take action like this, and also like the local authority and other people that are managing land, just to give that little bit of space for nature, just to give it a chance. Because what this shows is that if we make that space, if we give it the opportunity to recover, it can, you know, and that's such a positive message. And I know that's something that the Mooney Show like really put out there, is that, you know, if we do take these efforts, we can make a difference. So like I feel really excited that that message is now getting out there, that this is a really, really good example. And like your description of the plant there is spot on. I would say it's really hard to spot it. You know, even when I've been up and down to the park now a bit since the recording has come in, and I'm like, I know it's there, and I have to look and look. And then when you relax and you're just like, it is there, and then you just wait, and then you start to see one, and then you'll see others. So if people are going up to the park, just give it a, don't give up. It's there. Just look carefully and wait. And that's, you know, even for our own sake and our own well-being, it's good just to slow down, relax, and that connection with nature, it's good for us as well. So having these areas of wildlife and protected for nature in our parks, it's not just good for biodiversity, it's also good for our health and well-being. And even up in the park during the weekend, people were coming out to look at this. So it's great to see this excitement and enthusiasm for botany, for our plants, for our nature. People, families coming up looking for this flower. So, oh, a real good news story, Aina.
Yes, it's a great one to celebrate. But one of our habitats or one of our ecosystems that is really under threat are grasslands, because we have so much intensive grasslands. We have so much grasslands for cut for silage, cut for hay, where the chance of flowers developing is very little. So to get these calcareous grasslands, these small, slow-growing grassy areas that are not mown, because flowers like this don't like getting their heads cut off. Grass gets its head cut off because it grows from the bottom, and things like daisies and dandelions grow from the bottom. But all the other flowering plants don't grow from the bottom, and if they get their heads cut off by the mowing machine, well, then there are no flowers, no seeds, and no continuation of that whole ecosystem for the invertebrates that are involved with that. But the actual seed bank in the soil, it's amazing how long this will last when the environmental conditions are changed. If you think in a woodland, if a tree falls down and there's a bit of light, stuff will come up because of the light that wasn't there for maybe 20, 30, 40 years when the place was in shade, but the seeds were still there. And in your area over there where you have this dune grassland or this machair grassland or this seaside grassland, all of these different species of plants are in the soil, because that type of grassland is probably our richest grassland. And when we talk about inland sites, it's not so much the actual seed that is the requirement, it's the calcareous sand. So esker ridges along areas along the Midlands where rivers ran under the ice in the Ice Age and sorted out and stratified the soil levels are areas of sand. A lot of these, of course, quarried away for sand and gravel quarries. But where they are left behind, the same conditions occur. So it's the sea is not necessarily a requirement, but those kind of grasslands are more common along the west coast and along the south coast. And indeed, only last year, they found the very first record of that same orchid in County Down on the dunes over there as well. So seek and you shall find. Orchids are a lovely species, but that particular one with the twisted spiral of beautiful white, really white flowers is gorgeous.
It really is gorgeous, Aina. And do you know what else is lovely about this plant? I got right down and got up close to that plant, and the smell of it, oh, it's like heavenly. It's honey and almonds, lovely, lovely special scent, which I suppose is going to be attracting in the bees that are going to be pollinating it. It's pollinated by bumblebees. So this plant, it depends on real special set of circumstances. It needs the pollinator, it needs the bumblebees to pollinate it, and then it needs the fungi in the soil to help the seeds germinate. The seeds are tiny, tiny little dust-like seeds, and maybe this shows why they're able to last in the soil. They require the fungi in the soil to sustain them, and they take a number of years even to go on to flower. So by having this no-mow area now, the flowers are able to set seed, and they're able to then go out and maybe colonise new areas of the park. It's really, really exciting. But it just shows how we need these particular circumstances. Like you said, by the sea, we need the soil to be nutrient poor. So it gives the chance for the orchid to grow. And then the connection with the fungi in the soil, the healthy soil, and then the bumblebees, the pollinators. So it's a sign of a healthy ecosystem when we're seeing these beautiful, beautiful orchids. You know, we only have 31 native species of orchid in Ireland, and they're all treasures. And, do you know, I see it as like a gateway for people to get and to explore and learn more about our biodiversity. These are very accessible plants. They're so beautiful and they're really rewarding for people to learn about and to understand and to spot and record. And it is really important. It just shows the importance of citizen science by people getting out there and documenting what they see. So I'd really like to say a big thank you to Mark O'Mahony, the amateur botanist that spotted it, and the conservation volunteers, to Ray Fallon and the gang there, because it's because of them and people like them that we're getting to record it and document it and see how our activities like having no mow areas can make a difference.
Well, another good reason to visit Galway is to go and look at the orchids there. I mean, when you think it's actually on the red data list that was made in 2016, it's near threatened species. So like it's, you know, very, very rare around the country. But if more people are seeing it, then maybe its status might be improved somewhat. So to see something as rare as that and to see it in its native habitat is certainly an opportunity not to be missed. They can keep their dolphins in the sea, I think. What do you think? I think flowers are the way to go. Great talking to you, and go out and enjoy your orchid as long as it's there in flower. Thank you so much indeed.
Thanks a million. It was lovely talking to you, and thanks for covering this story. I really appreciate it.